Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program. I don't know, play a little fun game. Somebody asked a question. Tennessee scored 37 in every single game.
It's a good number.
How would they do? That kind of led into offense, defense, all that kind of good stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think we're all a little scarred by Jeremy Pruitt's team's inability to score. I mean, a lot of bad teams in college football that scored a lot more easily than we did last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it should not be that hard. And it was hard for Jeremy Pruitt even in the second half of year two, even when you were winning games.
Yeah.
Those games were like pulling teeth. I mean,
like 14 to 10.
Yeah, you were able to play Kentucky with like no quarterback. I mean, I don't know if – It's crazy.
Nowhere to go but up, offensively.
Yeah. He's going to try and
get what happens back. If the defense is actually, like, serviceable? Then what?
Well, I think you'll be able to win if the defense is serviceable, you should win a lot of those games we're marking down as wins easily.
Mm.
They shouldn't be that difficult. You know, put some points up, get a few stops, run away with it, ball game. Like, and I think if the defense is serviceable, you're still going to lose the top, you know, three games on the schedule, probably maybe even fairly easily as well. But I think it makes all those games in the middle much more interesting because if the defense is serviceable, you have a chance to maybe win all of those games instead of splitting those 50-50 games. I mean, you know, right now you kind of are forced to say, well, Most likely outcome, I got this handful of games in the middle of the schedule. I don't mean middle in terms of time. I mean middle in terms of difficulty. And so best guess is you'll win some, lose some. But all of a sudden, if the defense plays a little better and you're scoring a lot of points, then there's a chance you could kind of get on a roll in some of those games and maybe win most of them, maybe all of them. And that's where you end up at the, you know, top of the range on wins and losses. I don't know. I wonder if we've got too much Jeremy Pruitt PTSD with the offense and how hard he seemed to make everything.
I think it's safe to say we don't really know what to expect other than it will be better.
I mean,
offensively.
But
that might open up other issues.
I am worried that we're so thin. I am worried that Heupel gets the offense looking better. Everyone at least has an identity. They're trying to do what they're supposed to do. That the defense looks okay at first, early in the year against Bowling Green. Win or lose against Pitt, it's like you at least see what's supposed to be happening. You beat Tennessee Tech. But by the time you go to Alabama in late October, you're just so depleted. You know, you've lost Ole Miss. You've lost Alabama back-to-back. You go into your bye week. And then you travel to Kentucky, and you're like, man, we probably could have beat Kentucky if it was the first game of the year. But we are so beat up at this point that Kentucky can kind of, you know, grind you down. And so then you're losing at Kentucky. Georgia's blasting you. You get South Alabama come in. You know, maybe you hang on to win that one. And maybe even win Vanderbilt. But it's kind of – you kind of limp to the finish line, I guess. And that Kentucky road trip will be one of those key games I'm talking about.
That sounds like a – PTSD.
Well, I'm just saying that's all I'm worried about.
Why
that would be kind of a worst case scenario is that hey, Heupel and the guys look like they know what they're doing. The players are playing hard, but we just don't have enough bodies by the time we go through the Florida, Missouri, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Alabama stretch to finish off the season with at least, you know, winning 3 of 4 at the last section. You really want to win 3 of those last 4, and obviously Georgia probably going to be a loss.
I don't like this hypothetical that the whole team's getting hurt.
What's that? We just don't have guys.
We don't have guys. We got guys. We got guys who have played a lot of football. What position are you worried about?
It's up the middle in the defense.
Okay. So
I mean, Daryl Milton probably won't make it to even start the season.
Maybe.
Aubrey Solomon gets hurt every year. I mean, like, the linebacking core at inside. We did get
Elijah
Simmons
from
Texas.
Oh, he's ready to go. He's a big old boy.
We'll see. I mean, that's
Jaquan Blakely.
Elijah Simmons is a guy that's never really played 3 snaps in a row. So
Amari Thomas. Dominic Bailey. Karat Garland.
What are these names?
D Lyman. Trell Bumpus. Greg Emerson. Matthew Butler.
If you feel better after reading this list, something's wrong with you.
He said we didn't have enough guys. Daryl Middleton, Aubrey Solomon. Tyler Barron. Byron Young.
Will Albright. Like,
what?
I can just keep naming guys, too.
These are guys that have been pressed or played a lot. At the position they're going to be. Will Albright. That was lame. Kwazae Garland, linebacker, had a good camp. Morvin Joseph. Roman Harrison. Jeremy Banks. Juwan Mitchell. Aaron Willis, you know, if he gets out of the doghouse. I don't know. I guess I'm not saying we're going to be, you know, 2012 Alabama, but good God. You guys act like we're going to be fielding a high school team.
I'd say FCS. Okay, is that a top half of an SEC roster you're looking at right there?
I don't know. I haven't seen him coached well once.
Do you think we're more talented than Kentucky?
Defensively?
Overall.
Yeah. Overall, yeah.
I'd give us a slight edge. They did have a pretty baller recruiting class, but
I'd
say we're middle tier to
We'll be ahead. Tier. We'll be ahead of Kentucky whenever they put out the composite rankings.
They have not put out the 2021 composite ranking yet.
That'll be a little bit. You got to wait till
last year
we
were 15th.
You got to wait till the guys get on campus.
South Carolina was 21st. Arkansas was 25th. Kentucky was 26th. Ole Miss 29th. Pitt was 37th. Good number. They're going to be actual, you know, they're going to get actual coaching this year. I don't remember, I mean, other than our inability to cover a slant, like, what was it that killed us on defense last year? Like, besides that.
The RPOs, yeah.
The ability
to tackle.
Did we miss a lot of tackles?
To be in a position to make a tackle.
Well, it also didn't help that this offense, like, never scored and went 3 and out, like, all the time.
Yeah, I feel like our defense had no shot in a lot of the games. I mean, it just really – I don't think they would have really, like, held up if they had much of a shot, but we didn't even get the opportunity to see it.
Right.
Was it Florida where it was just like – I mean, early on
– they actually were okay, and then the offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I can't remember. I mean, I know we had that one long drive, but I mean, our offense scored touchdowns for the other team last year at a historic rate.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to grade the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have been ahead at halftime of Kentucky if you just punted on the first play of every possession.
Yep.
or run it.
At least
take two knees. run the play clock down, then punt.
Did JG throw three overall, but two of them were pick sixes? Right?
It was definitely two pick sixes. I know Shrout came in and threw one.
It had been 10-7.
Well, we had four interceptions in three quarters of play. That's what happens when defensive mastermind Jeremy Pruitt wants to meddle with the offense.
Golly.
I mean, you got
to lead at Arkansas.
I was going to say, you got a lead against Arkansas, and then you got conservative, and the defense wore down, and they were able to come back. You had the lead at Auburn, same thing, not to mention the pick six to smoke Monday. I mean, Florida, you were fine early, and then, again, couldn't score. Then they, of course, chip in the garbage time back-breaking touchdown. It was a slow start against Vanderbilt offensively, but they kind of got it going.
I will die on the hill that it should not be that hard for Tennessee to beat the middle and bottom of the SEC East teams.
Sure.
Like, I mean, it just should not be. I mean, Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, if you're losing to those teams, like, it's fine to drop one of those games every now and then in your bad seasons because those teams are better than they were under Philip Fulmer. But it should not take elite recruiting and rocket science scheme coaching to beat those teams. It just shouldn't. And that goes for the Mississippi State type teams. Remember when Mississippi State came in here? We played like absolute ass and beat Mississippi State easily with our quarterbacks throwing picks, with our quarterbacks getting hurt, with us just sheer fear to throw the football at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally threw a 2-yard pass that turned into a touchdown and beat Mississippi State by like double figures. Like, this is,
I think it was 20-10. Yep.
This is not, I mean, come on.
You just got to vol leave. That's the key. We got to get rid of this fear.
I mean, I think
scared of Pitt.
I think it might be another year with some. Well, some close games, I think, just be in a completely different way.
So yeah, instead of 20-10, it'll be 30-20 or 40-30.
I think Pitt could be close. It could be. I think Tennessee could handle them and win by 10 or 14.
Yeah, most likely blowout. Like, what in that game? What's more likely? Like Bowling Green, we get blown out or we blow them out? I think it's we blow them out. Pitt, Tennessee Tech,
Tennessee.
Yeah,
Tennessee, Florida. If the Missouri game was at home, I'd probably say Missouri. I'd probably go Tennessee, Florida, Missouri, Tennessee over South Carolina.
You think Missouri's more likely to blow us out, even though we blew them out last year?
Barely, yes. I just think year two, you got an offensive guy, you got quarterbacks back for them. It's at their place. Yeah.
Did you see they're getting rid of the turf there, by the way?
Putting in grass?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Okay.
I think I saw that.
Tennessee.
Maybe. I know that the Carolina Panthers are going to turf.
Okay. And Missouri's
interesting,
going
right?
To
I think so.
Grass.
I think that's right.
So does that mean we're playing on turf and against West Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good or bad? You seem to grin there like that was a good thing.
Hopefully by then we're a fast team.
Okay.
You know.
Tennessee to blow out South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having to pick it one way or the other. Obviously, I don't know. Ole Miss to blow out Tennessee. Psh. Alabama. I mean, you got to pick Tennessee over Kentucky, right?
Yep. Even though they kind of blew us out last year.
You know, you probably
vaunted second.
Probably pick Kentucky to win the game at their place, but I think blowout, like, sorry, I'm still not impressed with Mark Stoops. I mean, I'm not going to give a guy credit just for doing what he's supposed to do. You know, I mean, I know if they use those recruits that they've loaded up on to actually beat some real teams, then I'll give them some credit.
They don't have a quarterback, though, for next year, do they?
Nope. I'll go Georgia and then Tennessee. So I got Tennessee in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Going from the back up. There you go.
And then if you're wrong on one, we're 8-4, bub. 8-4. Come on in. The water's fine.
I'd say 7-5 is a good pick. I think Hickman, his first point he ever made on 3-and-out's a pretty good one, though. I think that Pitt game could really shape the season.
Yeah, it will once we just dog walk him.
I mean, you look impressive in that one.
Are you going to be
people are going to take notice.
I won't phrase it that way.
If you start 3-0 with one of those wins being over any Power 5 team, I think that's cause for some joy around here and some celebration.
What was that, Dave? What were you about to say? Am I going to be disappointed if we lose the Pitt? Gee, Let me ponder that one. Of course. Of course. But I'll probably explain it away because it's year one and we're just not there yet.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
It's that time of the day of the week. It's Davey, it's the Depot, it is the Davey Depot. Davey Hudson, your host today and always. Take it away.
Thank you, Nate. Brrr, hope everyone's having a good Wednesday. I'll be honest, my day did not start off well because I thought it was Thursday, and then whenever I found out it was not Thursday, I was upset.
But really, it shouldn't, because that means you were gifted an extra day of life.
Doesn't technically mean I missed one. And it doesn't but mean now I won't have one on to, the end of
now you,
of
you
my
are
life
living
cycle.
A day that you thought you had already had. It's a gift. That's why it's called a present.
Sure. Fact of the day. I thought this was sad and interesting at the same time, but at the end of the Gulf War, 20 people died in Kuwait due to falling bullets from celebratory gunfire. Just think, you made it through the war. And you're celebrating. And then, boom, you get hit by a bullet and you die. It's kind of like the people that hit a home run and then whenever they're coming to celebrate on home plate, like they like break their ankle, except the home plate people, like that they at least get to live, like these guys didn't.
So they just fired straight up in the air?
Yeah.
And the bullet came down on the same people that were firing?
I don't know if it was the same.
Okay. So this could have been random people.
Could have been.
Okay.
Let's see here. Where is this? I don't know.
All right.
Celebratory gunfire. You hate to see it. Gambling update. Mm-hmm. Last night went 2-1, won both NBA games. Did lose the MLB game. I'll be honest, the fact that it even was close at the end was pretty remarkable. The NBA games that I took, I said on the air I was probably going to take it. I ended up doing it, but it was the Minnesota Timberwolves -7. They ended up winning by 19. The other game was the over in the Boston-Miami game, and we had plenty of room to work with there. I think it was like 225. I got in at 223. They ended up scoring 250. So, again, a lot of room to make some money on that one. Last 7 days, at least for what I'm telling Uncle Sam, I'm up 357. So I got that. What?
Did you just admit tax fraud?
No.
Oh. Carry on. Sorry. Nothing to see here, folks.
But last week, been decent. Four straight days of a hot streak, so we hope that continues. Right now, I don't have any NBA picks. Still, I've got some stuff to do there. One hockey pick for tonight. Minnesota, the Wild are taking on the Blues of St. Louis. The game is in St. Louis, but I'm taking Minnesota money line. And then for baseball, I also have the Reds money line against the Pirates and the Brewers against the Cardinals. Brewers money line against the Cardinals. So that's where we're at there. That's Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game, actually. I think first pitch is at 12:35, so don't have to wait till this evening to catch that one. But that's where we are at. On a gambling update, my banger of the day, which ties into my movie review for today, is Let's Get It Started by the Black Eyed Peas. And
you a big Fergie fan?
Fergalicious is a banger as well.
Hmm.
It's a banger, man. But let's get it started. And that ties into the movie, as I will get into Hot Tub Time Machine, which I will be reviewing today. I'm trying to think if there's anything else before I get into the movie review I needed to catch people up on.
Nah.
No. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. No, I can't think of anything. All right, so Hot Tub Time Machine. We're set in the year 2010. All right, we got John Cusack. We got Craig Robinson, Clark Duke, and Rob Corddry. I think that's how you say his last name. I've always struggled with it. But
Corddry.
Corddry.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Cusack, Robinson, Corddry, really good friends that grew up together. Clark Duke plays the nephew of John Cusack. Well, the three friends, they have kind of fallen apart as life has developed. Things have not gone according to plan for these individuals. And Clark Duke just happens to live in John Cusack's basement. He's just kind of a nerd that just plays video games all day. Doesn't do a whole lot. But we get started where Rob Corddry's driving home, pulls into his garage, okay? As he is shutting his garage, he still has the car running, and it just so happens that Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue comes on the radio. Mm-hmm. I've already actually had that as a banger. But so he's sitting there. He's basically playing the intro on piano, like on his dashboard. He's just really getting into it. But then when the song continues and it's like, I'm on my way, Home Sweet Home, he keeps putting his foot on the pedal. All right? Car's still going. Ends up, don't know if you know this, safety note for everyone out there, don't run a car in a closed area. So don't have your car running while the garage is closed. You can die from carbon monoxide poisoning. All right, PSA.
It's a good note for everybody.
So he is rushed to the hospital to where his friends come to see him, and they are under the impression, and Rob kind of lets it go, it was a suicide attempt. It wasn't actually a suicide attempt, but it was just a way where it's like, well, my friends are here. I'll kind of just use that to have them be at my side. And so they have the idea that they're going to relive a ski trip that they took back in the 1980s. So they get together, they pack up, and they head out. They're going to Kodiak Mountain, I believe, or like Kodiak Ski Resort in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like to say. So they get there. Well,
do you like to say Colorado?
Colorado.
All right. Mm.
Clark Duke has this Russian energy drink, Chernobyl. All right. And while they're there, this place is absolutely run down. The town has not been doing well. They're like, man, this place was thriving back in the day. But for some reason, it's a ghost town. I guess this technically would have been in real life, like not long after the recession, and they would have been hit pretty hard.
Nate, you okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
It's a big sigh.
Colorado. Colorado. Garantano.
So, town's run down. They go to this resort that they'd stayed at years and years ago, and it's a real bleep fest. Place is looking awful, but they decide to get into the hot tub, and somehow the Chernobyl, like, gets into the electrical unit of the hot tub, and they travel back in time. They go back to 1986.
Oh, hot tub time machine. I get it.
Hence the name. So it turns out.
Did you pick that up, Hickman? You got that? Yep.
Yes.
Very important note for the story. You have to know that to realize that they're back in 1986. So,
great year.
Take it that's the year you were born?
Hey, attaboy.
Okay. Moving along. So they go back in time. Rob, Craig, and John, I don't even remember their names in the movie, but I'm just going to call them by their real names. They end up taking the form of their like 18, 19-year-old selves. So
Lou, Nick, and Adam.
Okay. So they look like they did back whenever they were, you know, young hotshots or whatever. And so they're like, oh, man, this is our opportunity to live it up. Mm. But the problem is, and they kind of get into this, Clark Duke's character, he's not even been born yet. So it's kind of like a Back to the Future situation, you know, where like the photograph of mm-hmm. Marty and his brother and sister, they're like vanishing as things kind of happen.
Yeah.
Well, as certain events kind of take place, well, Clark Duke might cease to exist. And as this is happening, they get into a bunch of shenanigans, and I'll get to some quotes here in a second.
Oh, good. I was worried.
But ultimately, they have like a fight with some old people back on the mountain that they didn't get along with back in the day. The dude's name is Blaine, which I'm pretty sure is Sebastian Stan playing that guy. If you're familiar with Sebastian Stan, he's the Winter Soldier in like all the Marvel series. But so that's happening. They get into it, and they ultimately have to get back to the future. And so now there are funny things. Like, so like Craig Robinson's character, like he was a musician, and so his idea was just steal songs from the present and then take them back in time and basically become a big success doing that. That ends up happening. And John Cusack's character, like he's like, oh, I never should have broke up with my girlfriend who was like really hot. And she ends up stabbing him with a fork at some point. I'm really trying to piece together the story here. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and then like
crushing it.
Rob, he gets beat up by the gang of the rival crew. And he thought his friends were going to show up to back him up, but they don't show up. But like other things were going on. Like Craig Robinson, like he lights up the crowd. He plays Jesse's Gruel to get things going. And then he's like, you know, you've been, this song is from the future, but since you've been good, you're getting it early. And of course he plays Black Eyed Peas, Let's Get It Started. And it's a lively show. Things are going well for them. And then of course they got to figure out like at some point Chevy Chase shows up and he's like the repairman for the time machine. And he's like, oh yeah, you got to get the Chernobyl and put that back on the time machine to get back to the future. And so then they end up doing that. But Rob Corddry stays behind, and he becomes like a billionaire because he's got all the ideas from the future. And so it's not Google. His name in the show is Lou, so it's Lugal. And he has like all these other ideas of basically just stealing ideas and becomes uber rich from taking other inventions that made it big. My phone's kind of blowing up. Let me get to these quotes.
What? What is your...
Well, like, it's like the messages are like piling up to where it's like it's hard to read the screen because there's a lot.
Was that like a popular brag?
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's more of just emails.
Maybe you should turn those notifications off.
I need to see those emails. Oh, it also turns out that other job managers they just come in left and right. They're like, hey, we need your help.
You're such a good worker.
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah, I doubt that.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I also forgot to mention for the movie. So Clark Duke's character, turns out throughout the whole thing, him and Lou, they don't get along. Like, they hate each other. But it turns out Lou banged – sorry, let me use better terms. Lou and
– had relations.
Adam's mom fornicated and – not Adam's mom. Adam's the sister – wait, oh man, I'm getting my families mixed up here. So John Cusack's sister is Clark Duke's mom in the movie, and Lou and Clark Duke's mom in the movie ended up getting it on at the hotel resort. There we go. I think I got it straight that time. All right, let's get to some quotes. Oh man, most of these are bleeped out.
Always prepared.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, Jacob was Clark Duke's character's name. He's like, yeah, he tells Lou, he's like, you know, I hated you for a reason. I'm going to tell everyone in prison I went back in time to kill my own father. See, that's the point where he finds out, like, he's his dad kind of thing. And they get into it. Man, I really should have tried to see if I could read these on air before I got into them. That's a big miss by me.
So is that the end of the depot?
No, we'll sputter along for a few more minutes.
It was really over before it started.
Can't read that one. Oh, there's one part where it's like, oh yeah, whenever they're trying to figure out, it's like, wait a second, what color is Michael Jackson? And she goes, black. And then he freaks out. That's kind of funny because, you know, like Michael Jackson was black, then he became white. That's a whole thing. That's a different story. Let's see here. Can't read that one. Can't read that one. Great White Buffalo. Yeah, I'm pretty much out.
I think we just need to send this to break. Davey's just...
I would hit the button, or would have hit the button a long time ago, but he controls the button, so, yeah. Good.
What do we think about this? Is this...
I give the movie a thumbs up.
Not as good as yesterday, but much better than 2 days ago.
But is this... He wanted 3 out of 5. Is this considered...
No, this is bad. Should we just rate the depot every day? We talked about rating the show or segment. Just the depot.
I give it a quarter thumb up.
Should we do it like GPA style, like out of four? This gets a one.
It's a quarter. Like a 1.1.
1.1.
Yeah.
What do you think, Adam?
I'll be nice. I'll give him a 1.4.
1.4.
At one point, I thought it was cool. They started playing Hero by Enrique Iglesias, like he's about to fight, and you're like, oh, man, he's going to finally beat the guy up. But no, he just gets his ass kicked again.
We're way over the time limit, Davey.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it is past time. I don't know.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio. It is starting in here. And the bass keeps running.
In this context, there's no disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you... Maybe we should make the depot the last segment. That way...
We got any NFL schedule updates?
The anti-depoters could just check out at 9:48, 9:50.
They'd probably appreciate it.
And then he'll have to wrap up, like, on the way out the door. He'll have a hard out, you know?
That would help.
Mm-hmm. That way we won't eat up the entire hour three. What's the start? It's going to be Cowboys and Bucks?
I don't know.
Cowboys and Buccaneers will be the first week Sunday night football game.
And then
Steelers and Buffalo Bills will play.
My boy Kyler Murray's coming to Nashville, or Titans are going to Arizona?
Come to Nashville.
All right.
You going to go watch me? You going to go see your buddy?
I might. A good idea.
You would.
Seahawks at the Colts.
You're just my guy because I got him on the fantasy team.
I know, Nate.
Okay.
Just check. I'm aware.
Just want to make sure.
That Titans game will be at 1 p.m.
1 p.m. Okay.
So they've released all of week one and then the rest comes tonight?
I guess so, yeah. I think tonight's a big special, right? They're doing their show and everything? Is it tonight now?
I have no idea.
Or tomorrow night.
Look that up. Wouldn't you want the week one revealing to be like the big reveal, though, once you have the special for week one?
I don't know. This is kind of the teaser.
I think it just leaks, yeah. I don't know that they even – did they mean to or just leak out?
Browns and Chiefs week one will be a good game.
Nah.
The Titans will, yep.
It might be. I don't know.
J.J.'s Watt – J.J. Watt, I forgot he was there, will be playing for the Cardinals. I forgot about that.
Oh,
that's right.
The Titans open their season at home versus the Cardinals, 1 p.m. on CBS. Here's the full slate for week one. Obviously, Thursday night, the season opener, Dallas at Tampa Bay. Early Sunday, Jacksonville at Houston, Pittsburgh at Buffalo, the Jets at Carolina, Arizona at Tennessee, the Chargers at the football team, Minnesota at Cincinnati, San Francisco at Detroit, Philly at Atlanta, Seattle at Indianapolis, the late window on Sunday, Denver at the Giants, Green Bay at New Orleans, Cleveland at Kansas City, and Miami at New England. Sunday night football is Chicago at the Rams. And Monday night football, they've done away with the double Monday night football game, but they have flexed it to where you have two games on a Saturday, like week 18, that could have potential playoff implications.
Hmm.
But Monday night football of week one, Baltimore at Las Vegas. Let's see. The other note is that we do have the playoff games. Nope, sorry, that made no sense. The Thanksgiving Day games, and that will be Bears versus Lions, Raiders versus Cowboys, and Bills versus Saints. Bills versus Saints game. I mean, I know the Saints have some quarterback issues, but that, I don't know, that could be good.
Full schedule, Nate, comes out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network.
Anybody want to take a guess at which two games are taking place in London?
Jaguars, Vikings? I don't know. They always send terrible teams over there, so.
Week 5, the Jets and the Falcons. Week 6, the Dolphins and the Jaguars.
Mm.
The Jaguars always get shipped
off
over.
Well, their owner he has the stadium they play in over there.
Must be nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we get the rest of it tonight.
Do you expect Tim Tebow to make the Jaguars roster? We talked about this briefly yesterday.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
You invite anybody and everybody this time of year. Like, well, you know, you're Urban Meyer. Why would you not? But no, he's not going to make it.
He's still in pretty good shape.
You get him in, you, like, remove the aura of Tim Tebow for a second.
Can't do it.
You bring in anyone and everyone early, right? So that they can be familiar with the franchise, the playbook, the whatever. Like anybody you think could ever help you. But then when you get down to 53 or whatever the number is now, is it still 53 on game days, Davey?
Well, they changed it because of COVID, so I don't know if they're actually going back to the normal.
Whatever the number is,
it was
those guys, as you correctly pointed, you can't have. Like, T-Carp asked the question, well, will Tebow just have, like, come in for, like, two plays or three? Like, you can't do that in the NFL. Every guy on your team has to be able to do multiple things. I mean, you only get so many slots. But in camp, you want to cast as wide a web as possible so as guys get hurt or things happen, you can then make changes and you always have guys kind of ready to go. I mean, hell, the Seahawks last year brought up, what was that, Arkansas, Alex Collins from off the team. And he, like, led the team in carries one game. Like, while they're playing meaningful, like, push-for-the-playoff football. So if he's not kept abreast of the playbook and whatever, you can't do that. So it's not just about managing game day roster. It's, you know, who all can you have, like, ready to go even deeper than practice squad and yada, yada, yada.
But he's going to work so hard. He's going to be the hardest working guy out there.
If this was 1 year after he had kind of flamed out as a quarterback, it makes a lot of sense. But this long delay after baseball, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I think I could have graduated college twice.
Mm-hmm.
He had a killer mentor to look up to at the tight end position in college.
You've been waiting on that all day, haven't you?
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
No, I think Urban's loyalty is going to cost him.
Good.
No, I like it. I mean, this is just a.
But I mean, the guy is
a
pretty good athlete. He understands offense. If as long as he's not just dirt slow or can't catch, like he might make it. What is he? 6'4"?
I don't know his measurables.
Did you guys see the video of when he was with the Jets and they ran a little gimmick play?
Yeah, he didn't even get his head around. Like Mark Sanchez hit him in the helmet.
Yeah.
6'3", 255.
Hmm. Okay.
So he would have, if he doesn't make it at tight end, he would have failed to be a quarterback, baseball, tight end. At least he's got the SEC Network gig to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And that Heisman Trophy. But man, is he going to work hard.
I'm sure he'll work really, really.
Do you see what Urban Meyer called him?
Really hard.
A competitive maniac.
Mm.
Loves to compete.
Maniac.
Oh, let's see what TimTebow.com has to say. It's the online home of Tim Tebow.
Okay.
More than football.
What does it have to say?
It says athlete. That's
radio host.
Athlete. Okay.
So it says athlete. More than football. And first thing
they haven't updated it. He is currently signed to play professional baseball with the Mets. Nope. Got to update your website, Timmy. Got to do it. Didn't he just recently get married?
He got married. I don't know how recent it was, but
a long time ago, wasn't it?
I didn't think so.
Oh, okay. Recently?
I thought so.
All right. We'll find out. We'll come back.
I know everybody just wants to know everything they can about Tim Tebow. They haven't heard enough. He's really flown under the radar his whole career.
Yeah, it's true. Hasn't been enough media coverage or anything like that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Final segment next.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Final segment of the program. Baseball Vols won last night. Hung on to win.
Weathered a late rally.
That run that they, like, how did that guy get called out at first? You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
There was a... it was a ground out, like a fielder's choice at second, and the runner that got to first mysteriously got called out somehow, and then we had a home run, or take it to a home run on the next pitch. But they thought it was a two-run home run on the broadcast.
Hmm.
They still even had the little graphic of the guy on first. But it was actually only a one-run home run.
Fascinating.
And I never did see the 37 we're talking about, but I never saw why the guy got called out on first base.
Maybe Callum will inform us.
It was when it was...
He already did.
Oh.
Well, he's the one that informed the situation, but he didn't know why it had happened, why the guy had been out, right? Callum just said...
No, we tried to switch.
Nobody knows. It's still a mystery.
No, he figured it out.
He just messaged in the last 10 seconds. Nobody knows. At Nate Hodges, it's still a mystery.
Mm. There's too many messages to go through.
Mm. Humble brag. Popular.
Nick Saban has called going for fourth down on his own 23 in the 2001 SEC Championship game the dumbest in-game decision he ever made.
Also, the most important, because that was the play Rohan Davey got hurt, taken out of the game, and Matt Mock ran all over us.
Oh, no.
Brutal. Brutal. Couldn't capitalize. Fulmer choked in the big moment. Cost us a shot at a natty. Not that I would have loved the idea of playing that 0-1 Canes team, but...
Bear says we would have beat them.
If we played the way we played against Michigan in the Outback Bowl, we would have had a shot. That team, when they played well, was incredible.
Didn't that team have 37 draft picks?
Something like that. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. Studs everywhere. Like guys who made it and dominated in the NFL for a long time. Very sad.
Bears known dullard.
Interesting. You're lucky he's not listening right now. He'd probably come in here and...
I can hear him as I say
I know,
this.
But he can't hear you. He's out there. He is talking a little loud. Did I mention what Bowling Green's FPI was? You know, Travis was nervous. Like, oh, what if we're up 37 and sweating against Bowling Green?
No, yeah, yeah. Bowling Green's awful.
126th in the FPI.
They're terrible.
Pittsburgh is also ranked behind Tennessee at 51st. Apparently, they lost 5 draft picks to the NFL.
Do you know what Georgia State was whenever we played them?
I don't think they had an FPI because they aren't. Like, for example, Tennessee Tech doesn't have a ranking because they're Ohio Valley.
Now, Georgia State would fall into that category, I thought.
Oh, that's right. No, that was like, what, their first year up FBS? Second year?
Second, I think.
Mm.
I don't remember.
Bowling Green last year was 0-5 in the MAC. They lost every game by 25 or more.
Yeah, they're awful. There's no way we're losing to Bowling Green.
Don't even knock on the table. Jinxed us last time.
I will say their games were kind of entertaining to watch because it was just complete and utter chaos.
I like that.
Really?
That'll be a good starting point.
Big feature on Thursday.
Cruise to a nice win.
63-0.
What are we going this year, Houston?
8-4, bud. Told you. We have a... an 80% chance of winning at least 6 games. So, yeah. Win a couple you're not supposed to, boom. 8-4. Take that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Dave. When it happens, you have to apologize to me for everything you've ever done. I mean, you can blanket statement, but I want an on-air apology when we're 8-4.
Okay, you can have that.
When we get that...
That is before ball game.
Huh?
Just so we're clear, not like you say, well, I said 8 wins and we went 7-5 and ended up winning a bowl game.
No,
8-4 regular season. I'll apologize.
Yep. Minute we win our 8th game, you apologize. Anything we win over 8, you got to apologize again.
Okay. I can do that.
Good.
Yeah.
Bowling Green. Bowling Green gave up 45 points a game last year. Boom. Just get ready. Fireworks at night on the river. Falls by infinity.
There you go. You heard it here first.
then we're going to kill Pitt, too. With that extra couple days of prep.
I've been informed it was an illegal substitution.
How do you do that in baseball?
Yeah, it's what Callum said the other day, or last night. Well,
again, Callum said no one still knew. I'm just passing along other information from other.
The Blitz is next.
From other callers. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio. FanDuel Sports.